Hi again, everybody. It's 2:07 and 34 seconds. Welcome back to the Vox Pop. I'm Alan Chartok. Congress avoided the automatic tax increases and budget cuts of the dreaded fiscal cliff at the last minute this week with a deal that raises tax rates on individuals with incomes over $400,000 and couples making $450,000. While the deal avoided the $109 billion worth of across-the-board spending cuts to the Pentagon and domestic agencies, it did not address issues of federal spending, simply delaying those cuts for another 2 months. Today, we want to know if you think avoiding the fiscal cliff will make a difference for the state of the nation. Would have gone over going over the cliff made Congress more likely to provide definitive answers, addressing both the federal and state budget and tax reform? And here's where it all comes together. Your WAMC. This is your show. That's why we call it Vox Pop. 1-800-348-2551. I really want to hear from you. In fact, I need to hear from you. 1-800-348-2551. You can also post your comments on the Vox Pop section of our website, WAMC.org, on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WAMC radio, and on Twitter by tweeting us at WAMC Vox Pop. So here we are. It's your show. I want to hear from you. The whole purpose of the program is to be as interactive as we can. We'll read the tweets, we'll read the Facebook stuff, but right now I want you on the phone. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Mark in Albany. Hey, Mark. Mark. Oh boy, that's something. Is he gone? I think he's gone. Okay. So we'd love to hear from you, and Mark is gone. Okay, 1-800-348-2551. Let me just talk about it for a moment. There are two phones ringing. As soon as they go up on the board, we'll answer them. But basically, this is what happened. You know, the president had logic on his side. If you take all of the American people and you say, how many of you think people who pay over who make more than $250,000 should pay a little bit more in taxes, from all quarters you hear, except for them, you hear hell yes, of course they should, of course the Republicans in the Congress, who often, not always but often, represent those with the most, said hell no, you can't do that. Well, the president had, you know, Big Mo on his side, and it's almost as if he were tweaking them. Let's go to Doug in Springfield, Massachusetts. Okay, Doug, you're on.
Hey, hi, Doug. Hi, how are you today? Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to you, Doug.
Thank you. You know, I was in the paper about, the fiscal cliff and what was going to happen if we went over it. And they were talking about, you know, immediately ending unemployment benefits. I mean, I don't know how many, maybe you could tell me, how many hundreds of thousands of people that are currently unemployed and actively looking for work, what would they do? Would we let them starve to death? Would they have to go on welfare or another public program? I mean, extending the benefits is almost something that you have to do. And it's like, I'm not blaming on Republicans. Maybe it's, you know, both sides are to blame, but it's a bit of a knee-jerk reaction. And we're kind of missing the big picture here. You know, like, I understand frivolous spending, but to take people who are out of work and struggling financially as it is and to remove their benefits, how would that benefit the country?
Well, Doug, I want to thank you for the call. I am sure that the question was meant rhetorically and that you knew and were making a statement, and I thank you for that. Thank you, Doug.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Bye.
Okay. 1-800-348-2551, and let's go to Tim in Massachusetts. Okay, Tim.
Hi. Yes, my main concern here is that every time that we have these approaches of, you know, fiscal cliffs, and I forget what they called the last thing last summer, you know, we were approaching another financial disaster in the Senate, the stock market seemed to really react to this stuff.
Yep.
My main concern there is that I doubt that there are any senators who don't invest at all in any stocks.
Uh-huh.
And I wonder if someone out there should look really, really closely at, you know, whether, I don't know if we're even allowed to see if, you know, what individual senators are doing. I'm sure the FCC, is the FCC perhaps? You know, someone like that is allowed to look into that. Uh-huh. Wherein, you know, if these people are doing that, and then, you know, the day before, we saw a rally today, whether or not it was early in the day or not, we don't know what's going to happen. You can bet that for a while people were going to be psyched.
Well, I think that the rally, Tim, to be honest with you, was more a vote for stability, any stability, than not knowing. And
but isn't it predictable, Alan?
Well, it was. Of course it was. It was, of course, Tim, it was predictable because, you know, I hear what you're saying. First of all, you have to know something about Republicans and Democrats in the Congress. Almost all of them are millionaires. So that's that's the first thing you got to know, whether they're Republicans or whether they're Democrats. A lot of people get there because, you know, they have a lot of money. Now, not true about everybody, but it's true about many of them. Now, the fact is, I'm sitting there. I don't play the market. But I knew that the day after they came like lemmings to a screeching halt before the cliff, that there would be a huge rally in the stock market. And so there is. You didn't have to have a crystal ball to figure that one out. Now, in terms of which particular stocks would go up, that is another whole story. And that's one of the reasons that you see this insider trading stuff going on, the prosecutions, because when people use that kind of knowledge, you know, it gets to hurt them. But I don't know. I suspect you may be a little bit too cynical on this one.
I guess I have to respect your side of that for sure.
Tim, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Have a good day.
Okay, let's go to Mark in Albany, the famous Mark who wasn't on the phone when we were looking for him. Okay, Mark, go ahead.
Hi, thanks, Alan.
Sure.
A couple of points. First, as Krugman and others who have actually studied economics point out, this is the this whole discussion is based on a false premise. Last thing we need is to cut the deficit now while the economy is still in a deep recession. That's the austerity trap that England, Greece, other European countries are once again confirming that Keynes was right. That's number one. Number two.
By the way, on number one, I'm with you. I agree with you. Go ahead. Yeah. Number two.
So what we need is a jobs program. Number two, I'm very sympathetic to Obama. However, in this case, it's no longer the fiscal cliff. It's a fiscal cave. And the reason I say that is that Grover Norquist got a permanent tax cut for everybody, including the billionaires, who get a cut on their first $450,000 of income every year.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bush cut had expired. The Clinton tax rates were in effect. They're still in effect until Obama signs the damn bill. And in exchange for that permanent tax cut, which once we're out of recession, we can't afford because this country is undertaxed. Tax revenues as a percentage of GDP are at historic lows.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to go back before World War II.
Okay, but wait, Mark. You know, Clinton got huge applause, right, for having brought us on the way to balance the budget. Do you think?
Well, actually, the Republicans hammered him in the '94 election.
Right.
Even though taxes were actually cut through the earned income tax credit.
Yeah, no, but I'm asking you, wait. So I'm asking you a question. Do we have to do more to live within our means? Yes or no?
The millionaires and billionaires, the 1%, have to pay their fair share, which they're not doing. The rest of us are getting squeezed. Wages are at a historic low as a percentage of the economy. Again, that's Krugman.
Yep.
I think they're now below 50%, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, the rest of us are entitled to a little more, but most of that should be in
okay.
the form of public services.
So do you fault President Obama for having given in too easily?
Yes, and the reason is that with the Clinton tax cuts in effect, starting midnight yesterday, he was now in a position to extract more. He should not have made the tax cuts permanent. What he got was the unemployment benefit extension, which is basic decency, but the Republicans being Scrooges.
Okay, Mark.
Not have given it to them.
Mark, a lot of people behind you. A lot of people behind you. So your time is basically up. But did you have something to say about Grover Norquist?
Yeah, Norquist won big because he got the Bush tax cuts locked in, and his long game to starve the beast until they can shrink the federal government until he can drown it in a bathtub.
Okay.
And the corporations take over completely.
Okay, well, okay, Mark. I think
long-term gain for Northwest. Yeah.
I think we follow your argument, although I'm telling you right now that there will be people in the House of Representatives who went along with Boehner, and that's why he voted for it, because, you know, he needed to give cover to some of the people, some of the moderates in his party. There will be people who lose elections because Norquist will do thumbs down on them.
Norquist endorsed the deal. The Club for Growth probably didn't, but Norquist did.
Okay. Mark, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Jim in Elizaville. Jim in Elizaville, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I really think that the administration was soft and could have been tougher in the bargaining.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that it?
Well, I mean, there's a lot more to talk about,
okay.
But that's what I think.
Okay,
I think.
Jim, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Okay, 1-800-348-2551. If your name is Joanna or Rose, or there are several more, you stay right on the phone. There are two free phones right now. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Snow Farm Williamsburg, a New England craft program offering creative arts workshops taught by master craftspeople for adults and teens, beginners and up, snowfarm.org. Capcom Federal Credit Union, offering home mortgages, auto loans, checking, financial planning, and more, capcomfcu.org. And Don Muller Gallery, Northampton, Massachusetts, specializing in jewelry, custom designs, handcrafted glass, and gifts by American artists since 1978. Facebook and donmullergallery.com.
All right, we're back, and Joanna from Claverack has an interesting question. All right, Joanna, you're
Hey,
on.
Alan.
Hey.
Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to you. Are you having a good one already?
It's so far, it's been great.
Okay, good, good. That's terrific.
So I have a couple of thoughts. One, first of all, this talk about fiscal cliff and these dramatic terms, I think, really gets people caught up. I mean, I confess, I wish I was more astute and knowledgeable. I try and do as much reading as I can about the situation, and then I get confused because of another conversation that goes on. But when you throw these terms around, they start to numb us. I want to know what it really would mean, first off. Second of all, I would love to have $250,000 income so that I could pay more than my fair share or more, you know, more than I do now because, you know, that's not our reality. And the numbers just seem... If you're making $250,000, I think you're doing great. I live in an area where, you know, people are struggling.
Sure.
My husband and I are college graduates, you know, master's program. We have, we have a good life. We have everything we need. I have two kids who are postgraduate, you know, positions, but because of job situations, just don't make anywhere near that. And we'd all be happy to make that much so that we could pay what's necessary.
Which, Joanna, is which is why he won, according to most people, the fight.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you ask most Americans who are not making $250,000, we're talking about, you know, top 2%, you know, should they pay more? They yell, hell yes, during that time. However, I want to ask you a truth question, an honesty question, a lightning bolt.
Not bear, Mike.
A lightning bolt coming out of the sky if you don't tell the truth, all right?
Well, as a pastor, I'd better, right?
Are you absolutely sure that after you made that $250,000 or $400,000 or $500,000 that you would feel the same way that you are articulating now? How can you be so sure? You know, I always ask
You're right.
I always ask
myself. Absolutely. I don't know. I'm not on the other side of that coin.
Sure.
I don't know, but I'd like to think that I would because
I'd like to think.
Given all that I believe in, all that I profess, is that of those who, you know, who are given much, much is required.
Sure. Well, you know, it's interesting. I always ask my students, Joanna, when you get to the legislature, will you behave like these characters do? And they all say just what you said. Well, I like to think so. Well, the answer is you. I shake my head back and forth. They say you would not.
No, don't say that.
Because.
All right, give me a chance.
Give me a chance.
Let me get
I
on
like
that
it.
Side.
Well, that's what they say, too. That's the whole point. That's the whole point. Well, Joanna, you make a very good point, and I have great respect for you, and I hope you don't mind my kidding around a little bit. But
not at all. Jeez.
But the truth really is they get there, they got it, they want to keep it, and it's really very little money. I mean, you know, after the first $450,000, that's when they start paying, I believe. So
right.
Yeah, or for a family. So. So, you know, but there are a lot of very wealthy people who are Democrats who supported this thing. You know, I got to give Obama a lot of credit. You know, the left doesn't like it. They think he could have argued for more. He could have gotten more. And we could all take those kinds of shots. But, you know, I think the fact that he and Biden pulled this off is really extraordinary.
No, something had to be done. Something had to be done. But continue to. I don't want to just keep seeing it pushed off some kind of final, you know, conclusion.
I think he's got him on the run.
Okay.
I do.
Well, keep running.
Okay. Hey, Joanna, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Yes.
Let's go to Rose in Kobe. How are things in one of my favorite towns, Rose?
Oh, mine too.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that, kind of what you just said, that I think this is a victory. I'm on the left. I'm a Democrat. I voted for Obama, and I'm okay with this. I'm happy with it. People that make a lot of money are going to pay some more in taxes. I think that was important, and I'm satisfied with this for now. I think it's a victory.
Do you make more than $400,000?
Oh, not even close. About a tenth of that, maybe.
Well, Rose, thank you for a wonderful call. Anything else you want to say?
Nope, that's it.
Okay, thanks, Rose. Yep.
Bye.
1-800-348-2551, two free phones. Let's go to Lorna in Albany. Okay, here we go. Lorna, you're on.
Oh, God. Hi, Alan.
Hey.
Okay, you can hear me. I'm just, it's probably a rhetorical question, but you asked, shouldn't we learn to live within our means? And all I can think of is, isn't that like Ebenezer Scrooge asking Bob Cratchit to live within his means? When he's got more than he could possibly spend in a lifetime. Or 10 lifetimes, and doesn't want to give up anymore.
Okay. I see you. I take your point.
All right. Well,
thank you, Lorna. Appreciate
you're welcome.
It. Yeah, bye.
Bye.
Interesting point. Let's go to Beth in Niskayuna. Okay, Beth, you're on.
Hi. I'm looking at an older Counterpunch article, but the tie into Wall Street is that they've taken Social Security money in the past to bail out Wall Street, and to help shore up the market, if I don't misunderstand this.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be one reason. I mean, we all know who Alan Greenspan was. And then my other thing is the rest of us are going to see an increase in our Social Security tax. That's coming back, they're saying. Mm-hmm. But but it's only slated people who live on Social Security. And by the way, if you live in New York City, if you run a small business or you live on $200,000 a year in New York City, that's not a lot of money.
Nope.
No, it isn't. So anyway.
I said no. Yeah, you're
right. Right. I'm not fighting with you.
Yeah.
So it's only slated to increase this year by 7%. So our payment into Social Security, and I am all for paying for Social Security, but not to bail out Wall Street and not to fund the wars. But we're going to increase our payments to Social Security by 2%, but they're not going to increase payments to those needing Social Security by 2%. Yeah. I think that's a crime.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you said something that really makes a great deal of sense to me, which is you're willing to pay, but not for wars.
Right.
By the way, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I think at the point at which we come to grips with our national debt, we're going to have to, it gets very complicated, doesn't it, Beth? Because my feeling is, I always use this as an example, a couple of billion dollars for another submarine, for what? But the problem is that Ike warned us about it. We are living based on a military-industrial complex. And,
right, but don't raise Social Security to pay for it.
Well, don't raise anything to pay for it as far as I'm concerned.
Well, not Social Security. That is criminal to raid Social Security. And like I said, there's going to be another issue because we don't have much of a safety net. Part of my work is outreach. So when you tax the upper echelon, and I do agree with them pay more, but then you've got to increase benefits on the bottom end because they're going to give no matter what anybody says. And I'm guessing there are loopholes in this bill. I don't think that people are going to really end up paying much more tax. I'm going to guess there are enough riders and loopholes that this is just a good, they just put a nice face on it. And it's disconcerting because I'm seeing funding's drying up for outreach programs.
Yeah, well, we're going to find out, Beth, but there are five phones ringing off the hook.
Okay,
make a whole bunch of good points. Thanks, Beth.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Let's go to Ricky in Great Barrington. Hiya, Ricky.
Hello, Alan. How are you doing?
Well, I'm good. Where are you today?
I'm standing, now I'm getting chastised. I have to go away from the gas station.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I'm filling up my truck with diesel. You're right. Hi, Minnie. Here's my what I have to say. Charitable giving. It's been a way that wealthy people have been able to
mitigate their taxes, right?
Yes. So what's going to happen to that now?
Well, I don't think I read anything about that being changed. I know it was a proposition. I think what's going to happen is that as we go into this next round here, that will be put back onto the table. What do you think about that? Let's hear what you think.
Who, I?
Yeah, you.
Well,
in other words, I'm running a radio station. We stay alive because people give us money.
And people can get a little bit of a tax break by giving money.
Yes, that's right, but not a big, big tax break. On the other hand, you write a check to the Metropolitan Museum of Art or even, let's say, another public radio station in New York City for $1 million or something like that. Boy, that really helps. So if you take this away, there will be people. I was talking to my friend Mark Volpe at the Boston Symphony, and he said, if we are really sitting on pins and needles here, because there will be people who use the charitable deduction as part of their tax planning, if you're following me.
A lot of people.
That's right.
Wealthy people.
So on the other hand, if they do it, it may bring them down in terms of their bracket. It may bring them down in terms of what they owe. It's good for the Metropolitan Museum of Art. It may be good for WAMC. It may be good for. But my question to you would be, is the overall benefit better for society if you take away this thing and everybody just pays the right amount of taxes?
I'm thinking not, because if the taxes are going to the government, is the government going to fork it over to all these charitable institutions?
No, certainly not.
Gone with the wind.
Certainly not.
I'm just hoping that all the wealthy people will still have enough money left.
Well, you know, that's interesting. I mean, I don't think I have ever had the sense at WAMC, for example, that people give us money because it's a tax deduction. I really don't.
Doesn't hurt.
Well, I think you may be right. I think some people may, but I think people give it because they really, really want this radio station.
Well, I know it's true about this radio station. I agree with you.
So to some degree, you know, you come on the radio during a fun drive, and they're never easy, and you say, hubba hubba, you know, you want the radio station. We really need you. You got to pay for it. Otherwise, there won't be this kind of a radio station. You make your argument, and I think people dig deep because they know the argument is so.
I think so, too.
And therefore, the real question is it true also for the opera? Are people that committed to the opera as an art form that if they gave $500,000 last year in order to be on the board or whatever, that they would give another $500,000 if they didn't have that deduction? I don't know the answer to that. I think we don't know if they're going
to
make that change. I'm quite sure that the president did not want that change made.
And I thank the Lord for Warren Buffett.
Interesting.
Because, fella.
Well, he's pretty good. But remember,
he puts his money where all of our mouths are.
Well, that's true, but the term limits are running out.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ricky. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah. Bye.
Okay, we're really doing well here. You know, a lot of people on the phones. Stephen from Rensselaer. Okay, Stephen, you're on.
Yes, I'd like to start my argument with a reference to why did Britain leave India in July 1947?
I'll bite why.
Pardon?
I'll bite why.
Well, it wasn't because they were suddenly committed to the equality of all peoples or didn't like empire. They simply they were financially exhausted and couldn't afford it anymore. And so my point that I'd like to make is, when will the United States get to that position? We're here all this about the debt and what bad shape the United States is in financially. We hear it from the Democrats and the Republicans. Nobody questions this massive monolith of military spending. What is it, $600 or $700 billion? There's the intelligence establishment of 80 to 100 billion.
We don't even know. We don't even know on that. They won't even tell us.
So much of that is off budget. There's the whole boondoggle, this Homeland Security, which is tens of billions. That's hard to assess, but it's huge. And nobody seems to question that.
Stephen, we got it. That's the second time around. So let me ask you the question. When I talk to a congressman from Groton, and they're building another submarine, and they're always lobbying for yet another multi-billion-dollar submarine, if that submarine doesn't get built, I'm sure you're going to think about this now, right? If it doesn't get built, how many people are out of work? Now, to me, an intelligent society figures out other ways to put people to work. But we have made the mistake. We went over that particular cliff, and we are now prisoners because that congressman isn't there if they don't build that next submarine.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And somebody I heard once, there was an admiral who was affiliated with the Center for Defense Information, which was sort of a dovish group. And he says, the new boogeyman, Al-Qaeda, it doesn't even have a rowboat, and yet we have to have submarines and aircraft carriers.
No, I always ask them that. I always ask them that, these congressmen. I always say, so who do we need it to fight? And they really got to hum and haw a little bit, but the answer is inevitably communist China. And I always say, what are you kidding? They owned a third of our debt or whatever. I'm making that up. But why in the world would we have to fight with them? There are times to fight and there's times to have an army. Believe me, there is. But what do you need the tool for if there's nothing to use it on?
And I think the supremely ironic thing is that if the U.S. military intelligence, national security, state expenditures were half or less of what they are now, we'd actually be more secure because we wouldn't have our nose in everybody's business and making enemies all over the world.
Stephen, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Let's go to Bill in Albany. Bill in Albany.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
We're good. How are you?
Good. Yeah, you sound energetic. You're upbeat today. Like always. Alan, I'm a blue-collar working class, middle class, if you will. I belong to that tribe, so obviously I'm going to support my tribe, so to speak. If I were a millionaire, I guess I would support that tribe. As far as tax breaks for working class and middle class people, I think they should be maintained. I want to remind the listeners that most likely, I don't have the stats, but most likely the people who serve in the military are working class, middle class people who give their lives, if need be, or give their bodies to maintain the freedom in this country and to help support the millionaires and billionaires.
Okay. I agree. Now, Marx had a term for that. I'm not a Marxist, not always, but he had a term for that. He called it false consciousness. Do you think that's an example of false consciousness? In other words, the fact that they buy this thing as a potential reason for supporting these other guys, and they think it's patriotism. What do you think?
I agree with that. Yeah, I'm a vet, and I was against the Vietnam War, and we know about the lies about that. My wife wears a T-shirt that reads "Bush lies, soldiers die."
Do you remember? And, do you remember that?
Halliburton.
Yeah, sure.
Halliburton, Cheney, etc.
Sure. Well, you remember that the great thing about the Vietnam War, besides all the terrible loss and how many wonderful people died, and I mean on both sides, is the idea that it was going to, you remember, it was going to be the domino effect. That
right.
domino would fall, and so would the rest of the world. Well, it turns out that nothing of the kind happened. And the beauty of this is we have retrospect on this now. We remember what we were told, and we see what happened. And who are the friends with the Vietnamese now? We are.
We are.
And who are the enemies? China. You
right.
know, so it's extraordinary. You make a very good point. Thank you, Bill. That was a great call. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Alan. Bye.
Let's go to John in Poughkeepsie. John in Poughkeepsie, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
Just thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Just a point. I have a friend who is a multimillionaire.
Right.
First of all, he is very generous in that he supports the arts, and I don't really and other nonprofits, and I don't really think it is because of tax reasons.
Right.
But,
right.
But I mean the secondary thing. He and I talk many times about this thing with taxes and the fiscal cliff and all. He says. And his take is, he said, I'd be happy to pay more taxes. He said, because if the economy does better, I do better. He said, if the middle class is in better shape, he said, I can do better too.
Sure.
I'd be more than happy to. I just wanted to pass that on.
Well, no, John, I think that is a profound point and a smart point. I think there is a sort of, a part of people, which, especially the people who have the most money. And not all of them, because many of them are good people and they do what's right. But some people, they get the money, they get more money than they could spend in 20 lifetimes. And then they say, I want more. And it starts to eat at them like cancer.
Yeah.
And that is, there's no way around it. I don't know what you say in terms of how to figure that. The one thing I loved about Obama in all of this rhetoric, as he kept saying, people who make more than $250,000, like me. I thought that was great, because he was basically setting out a roadmap for others who had that kind of money.
Yes, yes.
Hey, John, thanks for the call. Appreciate
you're
it.
Very well.
Yeah. All right. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We got Jill and Ed and Tom and others. We got two free phones right now.
Support for WAMC comes from the Honest Weight Food Co-op in Albany. Offering local and organic produce, natural groceries, artisan cheeses, and more, honestweight.coop. Hildean, the Lincoln Family Home, Manchester, Vermont. Historic home, Pullman car, museum store, and walking trails open daily year-round, 9:30 to 4:30, hildean.org. And Saratoga Health and Wellness, providing a 12-week weight loss program run by nutritionists and exercise physiologists, saratogahealthandwellness.com.
And we are coming around the curve here, and we'll go to Jill in Waterford. Okay, Jill, you're on.
Hi, Alan. I just want to make a comment, like a more of a food for thought kind of a thing.
All right.
Something that a previous caller had mentioned about the this bill is probably full of loopholes.
Yep.
Well, in addition to loopholes, and I'm sure everybody isn't going to do this, but what is to prevent all these rich folk, or actually many of these rich folks, from just finding tax shelters above that $450,000?
Mm-hmm.
They'll still never end up paying more tax than they are now. At least that's
well,
my fear.
The question is, what are those tax shelters, and are we going to change the code? Is it going to be permissible? But even if you have a tax shelter, you're making some money, aren't you? You have to pay on
you're
the money.
You're making the money, but you're not paying the taxes on it.
Why not?
Anything above $450,000, they'll pay their taxes up to $450,000, and then anything they make above $450,000, they'll squirrel it away someplace
where
it can't be seen.
Well, that's why there are so many lobbyists on K Street in Washington, because they come down, they say, we want this break, we want this break. And, you know, everybody runs for office, and the first thing they always yell about is, we got to stop this offshore stuff. And for some strange reason, they can't seem to do it. You know, in other words, the rhetoric is not matched by the action.
The only thing they did do was they managed to get people who were with the Swiss bank accounts.
Yeah.
Keep them from doing that. But other than that, I don't see any other way to get people to, quote, pay their fair share.
Well, you know, I have
hiding it someplace.
Sure. You know, I have a very good friend who does this for a living. He moves people's money around for them. And he was supposed to meet me somewhere, and he apologized. He couldn't. He said, everybody's calling me because of the fiscal cliff, and they all want to move their money to the best possible place in case something does happen. So you make a very good point. That's what he does for a living. And as long as we create these shelters, as long as we create these places, people are going to say, I'm doing what's right. Jill, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
Ed in Berrytown. Okay, Ed, you're on.
Hello, Alan. How are you? Can you hear me?
Oh, perfectly.
Oh, good. Okay. I don't get any feedback, so I don't know for sure.
No, great.
I was going to say one thing, and after the last call, another one popped into my head. So I would say the seven deadly sins are the nature of human beings, and we all lie, cheat, steal, connive, and the rich people do it better.
That's pretty cynical, isn't it, Ed?
It's not cynical. No, I'm not.
I mean, I don't think everybody does the same level of all of us, you know, lying, cheating, and conniving. I think there are some who do it differently. That's all. But I don't think everybody does it. Some people return their library books. Why? Because it's right. Some people don't, because they can get away with it.
Well, right. Yeah. Well, we're all to some degree affected by some of the seven deadly sins. We are all selfish. We live in our bodies, so we can't help but be selfish.
We are humans.
Absolutely.
Your point is?
This is all a dog and pony show. It makes no difference in any real sense. Life goes on. Nobody talks about the recession in the 70s. That was horrible. I'm in the construction business. I don't think I worked for years during the 70s.
Yeah.
All the stores were closing, all the chains were going bankrupt. They're all still in existence now. People sleep out to get an iPhone. They put a tent up on a sidewalk to get a phone. I mean, please.
Yep. Ed, I hear your frustration.
Yes.
And I feel your pain.
And I'm a retiree, and my pension fund is losing money.
And I thank you. Well, mine certainly hasn't been doing anything for a long time now. I just got lucky. I was born at the right time. I was working at Rutgers, and they put the money in, you know, and my boss said, put it all in. Don't play it safe.
Yeah.
So I did that, you know. And for a while, when I opened it up, there was a lot of money in there.
Yeah.
But for the last several years, there's been virtually nothing.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you calling, Ed. Thanks.
All right, Alan.
Yeah. Right, bye.
Good day.
Okay. Let's go to Tom in Woodburn. Okay, Tom, you're on.
Good afternoon, Alan, and healthy, happy New Year to everybody and your listeners, too.
You too, Tom.
Listen, I just wanted to ask, can you shed any light on how this, since the Supreme Court's deemed the corporations individual.
People, yeah.
Individual rights and stuff like that. Are they going to be into this tax thing too, just the way as the average Joe is going to be? Are they going to?
You know what? I don't think anything's changed. However, I think it's a very good question, and I think we should do a show about it.
Great.
Okay?
Anyway, best to you.
Thank you, Tom.
Take care.
Yeah, bye. Let's go to Steve in Troy. Steve in Troy, you're on.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
Well, you know, okay. Don't make it worse.
I'm probably going to disappoint you. At a certain point, Alan, the federal government is stealing my money. When I'm willing to pay something in taxes, but apparently the federal government has the right to just keep taking more and more of the money that I've earned to spend it on what? Welfare, which is now about the size of military spending? That's not what my money should be going toward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So?
And a debt that is currently costing us about 5% of our budget. Try to run a household like that. Try to run a radio station like that, Alan.
Yeah.
See how long it lasts.
No, I agree. I agree that there are there. I don't mind paying taxes, and I don't even mind paying taxes at the rate I am. And I'm not yelling like you are. That you know that.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'm yelling, Alan. I'm making the point that at a certain point, when you take people's money, over and over again at a larger and larger level, it constitutes outright theft.
Okay.
It's immoral.
Okay. Okay. I hear you. And I think just in terms, if you were looking at this like on an audiograph and you said you weren't yelling, I think it was approaching that line, approaching the line. It wasn't quite there, but it was, if you imagine a graph, it was coming up there. You're pretty angry, aren't you?
Well, look, I mean, people generally do get upset when their wallets are pickpocketed and their purses are taken from them. And if I earn the money that I make, and the federal government says, thank you, we're taking it from you.
Do you remember during
the
Second World War?
That's immoral.
You remember the Second World War and afterwards when the taxes were going up to 90% of your income?
Well, just because there was nutty activity in the past doesn't mean it sanctions what happens in the present.
Yeah, but it sounded to me like you were saying it's getting worse. And
it
I
is
think,
getting worse.
Well, if you take a look at the numbers, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it very much.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate your call. Okay. Let's go to Sharon in Hurley. Okay, Sharon.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay.
I would go with moral outrage is more that we're pushing austerity down other countries' throats, and we're not doing it. But the point I was going to make was I was unhappy that the deal was passed because the estate tax only got raised to 40%. The estate tax is the mechanism to keep money from pooling and being held out of the economy. If originally it was 55, if we'd gone over the cliff, it would have reset back to 55% at incomes over $5 million.
Mm-hmm.
By putting it only at 40, you have locked up huge chunks of money which won't go back into the economy. So I was very unhappy with that.
So do you have kids?
No, I do not.
Okay, so that may be part of it. There are those people who say, I want to leave all my money to my kids. And that's my program, and that's my right, and I want to do it, just like the last guy. And anybody who tries to steal that money is a thief. You say, wait a second now. Nobody's born with should be born with that kind of money. It should be fairly distributed. You make your money and let your kids make your money, their money too. I know a wonderful woman gives a ton of money away, and she always says, I said to her, what about your kids? She says, they'll take care of themselves. So
exactly. You should have to produce something in order to function.
There you go. Sharon, thanks for a great call. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Let's go to here's our wonderful friend Mr. Patrick Danger. Patrick, what do you have?
Yes, hi Alan. So Lucy Charles checked in on WAMC.org on the Vox Pop page, and in her comments said, question, did the president sign a bill raising congressional salaries? And as far as I can tell, that was not included in the fiscal cliff deal.
Okay.
That there would have been congressional salaries had some people had their got their way, but that was not included.
I think we would have heard about it if it were there.
Right.
But who knows? You never know. Go ahead.
So that's it?
That's it?
Yeah.
That's the only comment you got on Facebook or Twitter?
Well, there's a lot of traffic. There's a lot of traffic on Facebook, but people are not commenting. I think they prefer to hear.
They're just watching.
Exactly.
Okay. How do you do it again?
It's at WAMC.org on the Facebook, on the, excuse me, the Vox Pop page.
Right,
you can,
or
on Facebook at facebook.com/WAMC radio, or you can tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Let's go to Beth in Montgomery. Beth, you're on.
Hi, how are you?
Well, all right. We're running out of time. I got five people on the phone.
I want to wish everyone a very happy New Year, but I have two comments to make. The first is on, you know, what is rich? If you live in New York City, $250,000 a year is not a rich income.
That's true.
I'm just saying,
with the average apartment is approaching $1 million.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's all I wanted to say, and that's it. Thank you.
Thanks, Beth. Let's go to Jerry in Schenectady. Go ahead, Jerry.
Good afternoon, Alan.
Hey.
A couple of things that frustrate me about this debate. Back and forth between the Republicans and the Democrats. It seems one side is arguing in terms of for what people need,
mm-hmm.
what they need to live, and this other, the other side seems to be arguing on the basis of just what they want. And it just when we concede, or when Obama and the others concede to compromise against some of these hardliners who refuse to budge on what they want, I just it drives me crazy. And that's honestly the way I see it. And,
yeah, but you make some very good points. He's the president, I think, because he ran on that whole issue. I mean, that
was
his
250,000
issue. Right.
That's right.
He didn't chicken out on that. He did it. And I thought it was courageous, to be honest with you.
But he compromised since then.
Well, are you married?
Pardon me?
Are you married?
No, I'm not.
Oh, well, then you don't know what compromise is all about. thanks, Jerry.
All right.
Appreciate it a lot, yeah. Okay, let's go to Tiambi in Schenectady. Okay, Tiambi, you're on, but very short. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I just feel as if when people make statements about their money going towards welfare, I just feel like the underprivileged society or people are used as scapegoats. There's so many various things that people could pick at if they really took the time to look at what their taxes truly pay for. I'm not saying that these reforms aren't necessary, but I just feel like they're used as scapegoats, and then there's this kind of condescending attitude towards people who may be in need of assistance.
No doubt about it.
And I think it's disgusting, and I hope that changes, that people's mindset change. And I'm finding that with the recession, more and more people that are unemployed and that are needing those unemployment benefits are understanding the other side of the story.
Okay, Tiambi, I'm going to stop you right there because I think we all get the message, and because I want to try to get to everybody, okay?
Okay,
thanks a lot. Right. Let's go to Rick in Albany. Rick, you're on.
Happy New Year, Alan.
Happy New Year, Rick.
So my outrage is this about this. Is not paying taxes. I enjoy paying taxes. I know I'm crazy, but I think that it's a positive thing to do. However, since the beginning of the Reagan era, there's been a move to privatize one service after another. And all those privatized services now, including Halliburton with the military, are working for a profit, usually public companies, publicly held, that have to show profit on a steady basis, where when these tasks are done by the government, they're not for profit. So we're paying way more than we have to pay for the services.
Well, by the way, I agree with you. Rick, thank you for calling. I want to try to get everybody. Bye. Okay, let's go to Laura in Woodstock. Laura, you're on.
Hey, Alan, my remark was about the estate tax.
Yeah.
It was going to drop to anyone with an estate over $1 million was going to be taxed 50%. And I do think that would be outrageous. And I do think that, you know, my father worked hard all his life. And if he wants to leave me, you know, money, I don't think the government should take half of it.
That's the other side of it, all right. Thanks, Laura.
You're welcome, Alan.
Yeah. Let's go to Michael in Winstead. Michael, you're on.
Hey, Alan.
Yep.
I think your friend Steve the Yeller said something outrageous, which was that welfare payment.
Oh, I heard that. Yeah.
Has the military spending? Yeah, are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, it's nonsense. Yeah, that's true.
I just wanted you to refute that for everybody.
Well, you did it, didn't you?
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Okay.
Bye-bye.
We got 4 free phones here. Whoa, let's go to J.D. in Springfield, Massachusetts. Okay, J.D.
Hi, Alan. Thank you for taking my call, and Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to you, J.D.
I have difficulty understanding the concept that we can borrow our way somehow to solvency. And then the prior caller that mentioned privatizing all these government services, it then becomes a government expense. Whereas, you know, like back in the old days, it seems like KP was one of the duties that the Army or Armed Services provided themselves.
Well, J.D., you know, we had no better example of what you're talking about than the idea that you take a terrific program like Social Security and give it over to the insurance and other companies and let them do it probably screw it up. So, what happens is it comes natural. Who's saying that? Ethel Merman? Doing what comes naturally?
Yeah.
Well, when you're Republican, the whole idea is to give as much to the private sector as you possibly can. Reagan did it. The Bushes did it. And the theory is that they will do it cheaper than government can do it. And I'm here to tell you that is absolute nonsense.
Well, I agree with you on that. And then when Romney said that our health costs would go up, I would like to kind of articulate that it's not the health costs that are going up, it's the health insurance costs that will go up.
Well, that's part of it. That's part of it. I mean, let's face it. Your doctor now can, you come to the doctor with a headache, and the doctor says, how long have you had it? And you say 3 weeks, and the guy says, uh-oh. And he's not stupid. He practices defensive medicine, and he sends you for an MRI, and it costs a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. And what if you don't need the MRI?
That, well, how do you know beforehand?
Drink a lot of water because you're dehydrated.
But how do you know that beforehand?
Drink water, and if the headache stops, that was it.
And when we start suing our doctors because they got it wrong and didn't send us for an MRI, then what do?
Well, you know what? If the headache goes away, and if people would just kind of, well, I said if everybody would be nice like me and healthy like me.
Yeah.
You know, and I also disagree with the premise that it because you're getting old means you're going to get sick.
Okay, J.D., you're done because I want to...
Thanks a lot, Alan.
Thanks. Let's go to Tom. Very quickly, Tom, you got one sentence and that's all. Go ahead.
One sentence and that's all.
That's it.
Don't hang up on me, bro.
Well, I will if you say something stupid. Go ahead.
Okie doke. To cure the disease...
Tom, I swear I'm not doing this to you, but your phone is breaking up. I apologize. And that's that for this Vox Pop. And so, everybody, we come to the end yet of another Vox Pop. I want to thank everybody and apologize particularly to Tom, who got collapsed there. Okay, so the Schenectady Museum is saying, My Sci, Museum of the Innovation and Science, formerly the Schenectady Museum, presenting model trains weekends through January 20th and quote, seeing hands-on fun from San Francisco's Exploratorium, MISCI.org, and Joyelle's Jewelers, Del Mar, New York, laser specializing in custom jewelry and repair, laser welding, designer jewelry and gifts, joyellesjewelers.com, and Richards Fuel and Heating, East Hampton, Massachusetts, providing high-efficiency gas and oil heating systems to the Pioneer Valley for over 45 years, now expanding into the Westfield area, richardsfuels.com. And thanks again for joining us on today's Vox Pop. Remember, the conversation continues online on the Vox Pop page at WAMC.org. You'll see your comments right there. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Colleen O'Connell, and bless her for being here every week. Our producer is Patrick Donges. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.